Shalom, Rabbi Galperin. Boker Tov.
Boker Tov, Ilan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. All is good. You know, we had a great week, and now we're moving on to getting ready for
Passover.
For Pesach.
Yeah.
So it doesn't stop. You know, you finish one, you got to start right the other.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. It keeps us on our toes. It keeps us moving. It keeps us going.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing.
And for those listeners that were not in the Purim party at the Windsor Jewish Community Center, you want to give a brief review for the party?
Sure. I would love to. It was a beautiful event. And, you know, everything went beautifully. You know, we had the Megillah reading, and people that didn't get a chance to read the Megillah in the morning had a chance in the afternoon with the slideshow we had for the kids. You know, the tables were full. We had to add in a table afterwards, and the food was out of this world.
I agree.
Think about it. Out of this world kosher food done in Windsor.
Yeah.
That's Banazal, which is phenomenal, Chinese food.
That's a compliment to the chef.
That's right, 100%, and it was absolutely beautiful. We had over 160 people that enjoyed themselves with the magician and the food, and I hope everyone learned the Chinese in a couple of minutes that we had, you know, learning the different phrases, but it was beautiful. I had a great time. And the kids had a great time. That was the beautiful thing. And we're looking forward to next year doing the same Purim, but with a different theme.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what we do next year.
We have to see what you can cook.
Hopefully she'll be able to cook anything. Hopefully she can do anything, you know?
She's good. She's very talented. She's a great cook.
Yes, yes. So that was beautiful.
Good.
So thank you, everyone, for coming out and supporting this beautiful community event. It shows how the whole community was able to come together and enjoy themselves, which is a beautiful thing. So that's credit code to everyone that came out.
That's it. So Parashat Shemini.
Parashat Shemini is a interesting parasha. You know, it goes through a lot of different laws. It goes on about the inauguration of the temple, of the sanctuary, and how the divine presence came down with a fiery flame and consumed the offering from the altar. And in this parasha, we do have the laws that God commanded us to keep, the kosher laws, identifying the specific animals that are permissible and the ones that are forbidden. The ones, obviously, that are permissible are the ones that have the split hoofs and choose their cud. And a fish that must have fins and scales, and and in regards to poultry, there is a list given, but the general rule is any bird that is not a bird of prey.
Yeah, that doesn't eat other birds.
Correct, and that's the Torah does just go on to explain. How do we know we keep kosher? Because it says, "Not to ourselves to keep a chalev and more." We should not cook a kid in its mother's milk. That's all that it tells us in regards with kosher, and then just tells us what the kosher animal is. But in regards to how we keep kosher and so on and so forth, that was then derived by the rabbis and passed down through the generations.
So this, in this parasha, it's the first Hersher rules, right?
Yeah, it tells us basically all the rules on what animals and so on that we're allowed to eat.
Yeah.
So, that is the blueprint of the kosher diet that we're allowed to have. You know, it's very interesting. A lot of people say the reason why we have kosher is because of health reasons, which clearly is not the reason, because if you think about it, if all the Jews would be eating kosher and would be healthy and everything like that, we'd look like, you know, who knows what, these big bodybuilders.
Yeah.
But we're not. It's more the fact is that it's more of a spiritual health, if you want to say, of why we kosher.
Okay.
But you know, people ask, a lot of people say, how does a person develop, you know, confidence? If a person doesn't have confidence, how does he develop confidence? How does one overcome fear, you know, nerves and anxieties? And I think we can find it, we can find some insight in this Haftarah portion in regards to how we are able to overcome our fear and anxiety and gain confidence. Now, everything was set in set for the inauguration of the sacred service in the sanctuary, and it took, you know, the week-long preparation has been completed, everything was put in place, and now it was Aaron's turn, who was the high priest of Kohen Gadol, to approach the altar and begin the service. But, obviously, as it's brought down in the Torah, Aaron was very, very scared. He felt this sense of shame, possibly because he was part of the golden calf episode that we had weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
And Moses calls out to Aaron and says, Moses tells Aaron, approach the altar and perform the service. And what happened? Aaron did so and completed all the required tasks correctly that he had to do. So, really, he overcame his anxiety or his fear. But the question is asked, what did Moses actually tell Aaron to sort of calm his fears? All he said was, come and do your thing. He never actually dealt with any of the issues. And we could possibly say that perhaps Moses was saying, come and do, and all of your fears will fall away. You lack confidence, so what you need to do now is start performing the services. And what you're going to see that everything is going to fit. Everything is going to fall into place. Why? Because you were born a high priest, and that's where you belong. So Moses, in essence, was really telling him that if he would begin performing his chosen role, then the rest, everything that would have to follow, would fall into place. You know, as they say in Yiddish, appetite comes mit Essen. That even if you're not hungry, if you start eating, your appetite will follow.
Yeah.
And you know, you can trust that, because you can always trust Jews when it comes to food. That even if you might not have a good appetite, but when you start eating, somehow your appetite comes into place.
Yeah.
And Moses was playing doctor, and he was giving a psychological advice to Aaron that the surest way of developing confidence is to begin doing that which you fear. You know, some of the finest public speakers were microphone shy. They were scared. They never would go up to a microphone.
Yeah.
And when they would confront their fears, they would confront what they would really be doing. They would then go and speak on the microphone. They saw how everything fell into place, and it was better than they ever imagined. And from there, a person that was scared to speak now feels more comfortable, and he feels more relaxed about speaking about the whole thing. And I remember once a rabbi was telling me, and I heard it a lot of times, when you know you become a rabbi and you know you got to deal with a lot of different situations. You got to deal with a situation, you know, God forbid, when someone passes away, how to deal with the family, or you got to deal with marriage, you got to deal with this issue or that issue. And he was telling me that once there was a young woman who had passed away, and I knew, and basically he knew that, you know, he's going to have to go to the family and confront them. But he was thinking, and he said, what is he going to say? What is he going to tell them? I don't have answers, he says. I don't have answers for people, you know, that just lost their wife or a mother. Like, how am I going to play God? And he was paralyzed for a while and trying to figure out, what is he going to do? And, it took him, he was stalling. it took him a while until he even could start thinking about, okay, now I need to really go to that family. And he was procrastinating because he could not face this unpleasant task which he was going to deal with. And eventually he tells me that he forced himself to go because he knew that he had to, that it was his job, and that they were waiting for him. And when he got there, lo and behold, he was actually able to deal with the family and their questions. Why? Because he discovered that they didn't really expect him to wave, you know, any magic wand or resurrect the dead or answer for God. They felt comforted by his presence and were grateful that he was there for them in the hour of the need.
Yeah.
And he told me, he says, listen, this can teach you a very, very important lesson. That experience is really, you can ask anyone, experience is really a fantastic teacher. And you could even go a step further, I think, that it even applies to each of us in our Jewish lives. Because we see that there are many people who are reluctant to get involved. Too many people, you hear it all the time, are intimidated by Judaism. Why? Because they're not confident enough about synagogue. They don't know how it works, what's the protocol. They don't know how to read Hebrew. And so what happens is they just simply opt out. They lose out. They're not really interested. And when a person begins to start to come to shul, it doesn't take them long until they start to feel part of the shul family. You know, that they start seeing that they feel more comfortable with it. That even though they might not know how to read Hebrew, it's not a great thing, it's not a big thing, you can do everything else. We need to be able to first brave the first step. And once you brave the first step, then everything else falls into place. And this is what Moses was telling his brother, come and do. This was, he was explaining it, trying to get his hesitant brother, come and do. And what happened? Aaron came. And he did. He did what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And the rest was history. So we learned a very important lesson. Sometimes we have this fear. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But what happens is when we put ourselves into it, and we do things, then what happens is we, our fears fall away, and we're able to have that confidence. And that's an important lesson, I think, that we can learn from this week's Torah portion, and an important lesson we can learn in our life.
Yeah. And Rabbi, what about the services in Shari Tzedek?
Services is at 7:30 Friday night, and 9 o'clock Shabbat. Saturday morning.
Okay.
So it's getting a little later because the time was changed, but...
Spring is soon here.
Oh yeah, but to me it still looks a little bit winter, so I think
you're absolutely right, but...
I hope it goes away soon.
It will.
The God willing, so yes. So that's...
So Rabbi... Rabbi, I wanted to thank you.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate it. It's a beautiful every week learning like this. It's beautiful.
Same here.
So it's my pleasure.
And Shabbat Shalom. And we will have you on the show next week with God's help.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Elon.
Thank you.
Be well.
Bye-bye.